And I've got the lovely Jenny Seide from Cambridge University. She's a lecturer. And at the moment, she is a combustion scientist and engineer. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
Lovely to have you here. Now, we've been talking about you for the last few weeks because you have recently been involved in the 2017 astronaut selection process. Can you tell us a little bit about it? What's been going on and what is it exactly?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been pretty wild, to be honest. So the Canadian Space Agency announced last summer that they were going to recruit two new astronauts, and that's very rare. So in Canada, that only happens about maybe every 7 or 8 years or so. So this was a pretty good opportunity, and I applied by the end of summer. And then since then, I've been put through pretty much every assessment and medical and task you can imagine that a space agency would want to put someone through. And now we're down to the top 17 people for two spots. That was announced last Monday.
Wow. And this all took place, as you say, in Canada or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So you've been flitting from the UK and Canada in the last few months and weeks, I should think, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been it's been going on since autumn, really. And I try and be here whenever I can because it's sort of my home base for now. And I love spending time in Cambridge, but I've had to go back to Canada for a few assessments.
And what are the assessments? What's involved in this selection process?
Gosh, well, I think what the space agency really want to see is they want to see how you act in a stressful situation. So any sort of sometimes they put you through kind of cognitive tests, a lot of teamwork type of tests, but mainly they tend to be quite stressful situations. So survival tasks or problem solving where you're under pressure, and they want to see how you react, how you can use your skills in those sorts of environments.
Mm, exactly. Mm. Now, you are obviously a mechanical engineer as well.
Mm-hmm.
You took your degree in Canada. You are Canadian, is that right? Am I saying yes? Of course, yeah. That makes sense. And then you came over to the UK and you're at Cambridge University, of course. And you studied combustion, is that right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so here you are. Now, what gave you the inspiration to study mechanical engineering? Because we've just been talking about how few women there are engineers in the world and in the UK. We'll just base ourselves at the moment in the UK. I don't know about Canada so much, but definitely UK. There are only 9% of women in the workforce, aren't there, who are engineers?
Exactly. So we're pretty strapped for numbers in the UK, and the engineering field here and elsewhere as well isn't particularly diverse. So I think that's partly due to the reputation of engineering. But originally, when I became interested in science and maths when I was in school, I also was interested in a lot of more kind of conventionally creative kind of subjects that people would consider would be more creative. So art sort of subjects.
Humanities,
yeah,
I suppose.
Humanities,
yeah.
Types. And then when I became interested in science, I really realized that engineering is a combination of science and creative problem solving. And I was very good at that. And recognizing that, having some good role models really set me on a path where I considered mechanical engineering.
You just said the key thing here, role models.
Mm-hmm.
Who were your role models? Because that's the thing about anything that we want to do. Sometimes we have to see it to be inspired, don't we?
Exactly, especially because you don't exactly have exposure to engineering early on. It's not a subject. So I was very fortunate in that I had some wonderful role models. My uncle is a civil engineer, and he involved me in projects pretty early on. I remember him designing a baseball diamond when I was younger and a treatment plant back on Vancouver Island. So these are the things that kind of stuck with me. So I knew what engineering was, and that was very important.
And having the confidence to move forward. Now, obviously, you enjoyed your subjects. So you move forward, you studied mechanical engineering, and then we wanted to come over to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
What was the appealing about coming over here? And did you find it was hard to get over here? I mean, there obviously lots and lots of people apply to Cambridge University.
Mm-hmm.
But you obviously had a mission.
Yeah, so from very early on in my degree, I knew I was interested in research as well. So this was kind of a goal going forward when I was at McGill. That's where I did mechanical engineering. And I had this wonderful professor, again, a role model, who studied combustion. And I thought that was so interesting, being able to study flames. So that was kind of my goal early on. And then I came across someone's work at the University of Cambridge. And the opportunity was just too good. So I had to apply. And I really, really fought to be able to come here to study for my PhD. And so I moved here about, well, nearly 6 years ago now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say you fought, what did you have to do to really get into university here then? Was it just a case of interviews and getting exams? And did you feel that there was a lot of lows and a lot and really had to push yourself and really get to where you wanted to be?
Mm-hmm. Of course, it definitely takes some persistence. So if you figure out what you want to do and you're passionate about it, you really have to push. And for me, that was finding a project and finding funding. Because that's really how you set your path for your PhD. And I knew this was what I wanted. So it definitely required a fair bit of persistence.
You sound very, very determined, which is great to hear, because you have another passion, which is encouraging women to become engineers in the UK. Now, there is a social media campaign happening at the moment. Can you tell us about that?
Of course. So the Institution for Engineering and Technology, the IET, who are based in London, they're kind of this national body for engineering within the UK. They've started this campaign called 9% is not enough, and that's a Twitter hashtag, 9% is not enough as well. And it's this campaign to raise awareness to the fact that there are very few women in the engineering field in the UK. Actually, the percentage of women who are working engineers in the UK is the lowest percentage in Europe.
The lowest percentage in Europe?
Yeah.
That's a shocker.
We have a lot of work to do. So we just sheer by just a numbers game, we need more engineers. We have a lot of problems we need to address, and we're not going to do that without a large engineering task force that's very diverse. So we need to encourage as many people as possible, particularly women.
And as you say, this is all backed by the IET. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what the IET is? I know it started way, way back, didn't it, in the 1970s, is that right?
Yeah, they've been around for a while. So they're kind of this professional body that support engineers working in the UK. And that can be everything from kind of more professional bodies. They have a scheme that they've started for apprentices. They also have scholarships for people to undertake undergraduate studies in engineering. And they're very, very supportive of, again, promoting diversity within the field. So this campaign is something they've really championed.
So hashtag 9% not enough. Mm-hmm. And at the moment we're having pictures of lipstick, is that right, on the hand with a hashtag 9, is that right?
Yeah, so marker or anything, just anything to show your support for the fact that we recognise that 9% is not enough.
Yes.
We need more women in engineering.
It is an absolute shock to realise that there are little. You'd think that we'd want a balance. We want at least more than that to share the load of decision making in any work of life. But have you met young women since you've been on this campaign, being inspired, or are they deflated by anything? I want to know what you think. Why women don't want to get into engineering, even though they're as talented as men?
Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, that's really a few things. It's a lack of representation of women in the engineering field, because as I said, role models are important. Now, the role models don't necessarily need to be women, but it certainly helps if you see people succeed in your field who are similar to you. So that's one thing. And beyond that, just conventionally, the way that women are encouraged into different sort of subjects, it's not necessarily going to be engineering, because again, the reputation for engineering isn't necessarily accurate. Supportive of that in the UK. So we see, when we think of engineering, we see a lot of hard hats. Kind of typically people think we work with engines a lot, and it's not necessarily that at all. I mean, it's one of the most diverse fields I can imagine. You can study anything in engineering. The only rule is that you have to study it with the intent of improving people's lives, because it's applied science, that's the point, right? So I think informing people about what engineering really is will help, and also representation. So those are, again, two things that IET has really worked to kind of break the stereotype of what people think engineering is.
Stereotype is a key word too, because when we were growing up, we were watching films about princesses and how to become a princess, which means how to become a wife, how to have children. And there's nothing wrong in that. It's part of life's tapestries to become a mum or a father. But we need to have less of the romantic films, don't we? And more of films that actually are real life, I suppose, more engineering. I mean, for me, it's all about, as you say, seeing something in front of you to be inspired. And you obviously do it very well. What's your next project? What's going on besides hashtag 9%? Not enough.
Well, there's a lot going on at the minute, and I would love to continue with the IET. I'm really planning to do that. So they have an award for a young woman engineer of the year. Right now, I really want to encourage people to apply for that. So that's an award that I was fortunate enough to win in December of last year. And I'm hoping this year that we could get a lot of support and a lot of nominations. So if people know of a inspiring young engineer who's female who's working in the UK, there are nominations open now. So that's going to be a big thing for me, promoting that in the next little while. And besides that, my students have quite a few exams coming up, so I can't forget about them.
Jenny and Saidi, it's been a pleasure talking to you this morning, and I wish you all the very best for your future career. You sound, well, you are an inspiration, quite frankly. Thank you very much indeed.